Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. This is the Cuckoo's Nest Broadcasting System presenting the Jerry Roach Show. And good morning, Tokyo. Hey, today we got Dan Root, a guy that's played with everyone, certainly a legend in his own time.
Mind. Legend in his own mind.
But what bands have you? Let me think. When you first came to the Cuckoo's Nest, gosh, you played with what bands?
Well, I played with some bands that no one knew. I played with I was in a band called Rot Row, and we played there.
Yeah.
And I was very young, and not really a part of the whole thing that was to be.
Right. You came from another world. Where'd you grow up? Garden Grove or
no,
something?
No, I was in Huntington.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I just wasn't allowed to go there when it was first going on.
Well, it got to be so you'd get arrested towards the end. If you went there, you'd get arrested.
Yeah. Well, I went there more towards the end than the very beginning. I wasn't, you know, like Potato and Brad and those guys were all going and telling me about stuff. And
it was quite a time, really.
Yeah. I mean, I was more by association.
I wish I would have known at the time. I just thought it was a momentary thing, you know? Like, I thought when the Cuckoo's Nest closed, that'd be pretty much the end of punk rock.
Yeah. Well, but, it kind of was for a little bit there. There wasn't a lot going on.
The old school guys are still going, but I don't know about how strong the scene is for the emerging bands, the young ones.
Well, it's different. I mean, today they go in their home studios and put out a record and go on the Warped Tour, and it's a little different.
Yeah, you got
people put out albums from home,
and then they can put them on YouTube, and who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if being talented was a guarantee for success, everyone would be successful, because there's probably more talents out there that.
Well, there's
don't,
guys like David Johansen, bitter, just never made the money. You think a guy like that deserves it? It's a tough world.
Yeah.
But fun, I'm sure. Better than punching a clock, huh?
Yeah, I do both, so.
Yeah, what's the day job?
Well, I owned the beer distributing company. I owned a company that would take the beer to all the bars, restaurants, and stores, and just took it everywhere, and I recently sold the business.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it was the big guys were getting into it and coming after me, so. Well, I ended up finding a good deal taking a position there. You know, we'll see how that works out. You know,
I've often, had businesses and thought about selling them, but when you pencil it out, you take a big cut and pay. mainly.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the deal you make. Like my business would have been worth more a year ago. That's one of the reasons I sold it now.
Yeah, business. Well, rock and roll is a business too.
Yeah.
And the people that are drawn to it are that type of entrepreneur.
Well, I think that
an artist, of course.
The bands, most bands make more money. It used to be the opposite. You toured to sell records. Now, you got to tour the touring
to sell
being
t-shirts.
Playing live. Yeah, people are going online and buying it.
Yeah, it's a different world. I really don't understand how it works anymore. But why get a record company? Make your own record. Of course, you got to get distribution, and I understand all that. But the Vandals still selling a lot of records? I mean, not the Vandals. I just had the Vandals. The Adolescents.
Yeah, well, we just put out a new record called Presumed Insolent.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And that one just came out. It's not even out here yet. It's just got released in Europe. We were over there touring. We did 6 weeks in Europe.
Where'd you go? The usual? England, France, Spain, Germany,
all those,
Italy?
All those and more. Yeah. Yeah.
What are the weird ones? You go to Uzbekistan or something like that?
No, last year we did a few other, we did a few more Eastern countries, but this year it was kind of just in the,
I imagine Europe's more fun than South America.
Well, South America is pretty crazy. Little more open to things, like Italy's just crazy. The Italian shows were just amazing, and the people were amazing, and they just go crazy. They just absolutely go crazy. And in Germany, they're a little more stoic. They just kind of watch, and you don't know if they're liking it or not. And at the end of the song, they're clapping and they're asking for encores and they're buying your t-shirts. And but watching them, they just kind of stand there, and you know, they're not. It's not like, but in South America and Italy, those are two places where it's like here. You know, from the get go, from the first note, they're just going.
Well, you know, Buenos Aires is pretty much Italian. And this friend of mine, you know, Blondie, played in the Stones. He said they're totally mad there. He goes, you know, when they leave a concert, people be running alongside the car for a while. He says, they're running alongside the car on the freeway.
Yeah.
You know, they're just totally mad, and it's the Italians.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that happened. I mean, there's some pretty famous Ramones footage of them in Buenos Aires, and they couldn't leave the hotel. It's like Beatlemania, you know, their cars getting mobbed. And we had little tiny, you know, bit of that over there with people chasing the car and getting in the street, and motorcycles with people on it waving, and people hanging out the car windows, you know, for the CJ when we were down there with him. Steve Soto from the Adolescents produced the last CJ Ramone album.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
And I got to get him in here too.
Yeah.
He's a good interview.
I'm sure he'd love to do it. And he brought me in to play on some of that, and that led to CJ asking me to play with his touring band. Actually, while we were touring in Europe, and he had to go do some shows at Fuji Rock in Japan and some other things, and Johnny Two Bags and David from Social Distortion kind of filled in while we were off doing adolescent stuff.
Well, let's play something.
Why don't you play
by CJ Ramone,
Three Angels. It's actually a little different from the rest of the songs on the record. And
this is a
new
record.
He wrote it about the Ramones that had passed away.
Oh,
about,
yeah.
Johnny, Joey, and Dee Dee.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool song.
Three Angels. The three Ramones that are no longer with us.
Three angels on my shoulder. I'm always looking over. Three angels on my shoulder. They're for life. When they put me in my grave, I know I will be saved by three angels waiting on the other side. Johnny said life's tough, so you gotta be tougher. Gotta keep your eyes on the prize, 'cause there ain't nobody else looking out.
Okay, that was C.J. Ramone, who played bass for the Ramones towards the end, about the last 10 years or so. And Dan's been playing with him for, what, the last...
About a little over a year.
I imagine it's fun playing the bigger rooms, huh?
It's really fun to play with him, playing those songs and, you know, playing the Ramon songs. There's not a... You know, we keep adding songs and songs to the set because everyone wants to play. You know,
not any bad ones. Yeah. No? I mean, there's so many good
songs. Yeah, there's just endless supply of great songs.
I did a whole show on the Ramones without an interview. Just, and it was just like, no worry about getting good songs to play.
No, it's really fun to play those, and people just respond so
so great. I mean, sedated.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Everything, yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
We just played in Puerto Rico, and... In the we were kind of on the beach at this I don't know, it was kind of like an apartment, but it was, you know, little vacation spot or whatever that opened up right to the beach. And instead of being out on the beach, you know, we were barbecuing, but we learned I think three or four new songs, like Ramon songs. Let's go, hey, let's just learn these right now. And you know, we learned Danny Says and a few others. I can't remember. Just we go, you know, we'll play these tonight. You know, and it's just so much fun to do that, you know.
Yeah, you know, they played the Cuckoo's Nest twice. The first time they played, they didn't, the clouds weren't even up yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were one of the first, you know, punk bands to play, really. It was just like, it wasn't so much a punk band, but the Ramones.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, before I knew that what punk really was, I'd heard the Ramones and saw pictures of them and like,
yeah, they were a different kind of punk.
And they were opening for Black Sabbath, and I was thinking they were just rock and roll band. You know, I liked it. I go, oh, it's cool.
Somebody else had that same story. I think A-Rab.
Yeah, well, they
opened for Black. Yeah,
they opened for Black. They opened for a few like big rock shows. It wasn't really probably their place to be, but I said they, you know, they had long hair and leather jackets. They looked like, you know, they looked like Judas Priest.
Yeah,
to
that's
me,
what,
you know?
Same thing. Yeah. A-Rab was talking almost exactly the same story. Yeah, that, in those days, they had to play with those bands. But they were different, too. I mean, I remember asking Cynthia, the ticket girl, I said, well, how come you like the Ramones so much? They have long hair. And she says, it's just, they're so cool.
I mean, there's a lot of people that came after them that tried to sound like them, but think before them, there really wasn't. It's funny too, because they were trying to emulate something and it just came out, you know, just came out the way they did it, you know.
Smartest thing I ever did was get that picture taken with me and them, you know, that shot, because they're all gone now.
So. Well, Tommy, the drummer, the original drummer, was the only one of the original band left.
I think Marky was the guy in the photo.
Marky was the second drummer, and he played like, I think, I could be wrong. I think from Road to Ruin on, maybe one before that. I forget.
You know, they had a little scam. They liked to pull it. And I didn't really fall for it. But they, at the end of the show, Johnny Ramone goes on and on about, where's my leather jacket? And then he wants money because someone stole his leather jacket. And they do it every gig. And he wanted $300. And at the time, I was experimenting with plainclothes bouncers, right? And just regular guys with no Cuckoo's Nest up, but they're a secret bouncer. So we could infiltrate places, you know. And it didn't look like there was any security, which made it even wilder.
Yeah.
You know, people come in and they go, there's no authority around. I mean, you know, I know why it's legendary, because people thought, but actually there was some control. But he was going on, where's your security? Where's my leather jacket? It's part of my lore, part of my mystique, my... You know, my leather jacket, it's gone. I went $300, and I'm not giving you $300. Anyway, we go back and forth, all the way down to $50. I finally gave him $50. He was going to call, you know, New York, I'd never get another band from Premier Talent, and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, well, okay. And then I heard he did it the next night, he got the $300. So it was kind of a victory.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, playing of CJ, I mean, he, even being on the later years, just pretty amazing stories that guy's got, you know, about all those years he spent with him.
I love all the stories about Dee Dee's song, Rocks. The
Chinese Rocks.
Chinese Rocks.
Yeah.
About all the people that recorded it.
Yeah. Yeah, when he left, he still was writing songs for the Ramones. He brought CJ some songs and had him sing them, so he actually got to sing some of the songs on
the last record. You said he did one of the hits on it. What was the song he sang?
They did plenty of songs, but Strength to Endure was one that he wrote and wanted CJ to sing, and we play that one every
night.
Want to
do that one? Should we play that now? Okay, here's C.J. Ramone doing Strength to Endure, opus by Dee Dee Ramone.
So Ramone's performing it.
It's done by the Ramones, but C.J.'s doing the singing on this one. So let's give a listen. Okay, back with Dan Root here, a guy that's played with many, many bands, but C.J. Ramone and the Adolescents are pretty important. The Adolescents were, you know, founding father of punk rock, really, and of course the Ramones, too, in a different way. I don't know, that New York stuff, CBGBs, I guess I'm just jealous, because he sold a trillion t-shirts, and I didn't sell any, but... I should have. I could still do that. I think we're working on that, actually. Stay tuned, folks. Cuckoo's Nest t-shirts on the way. But also, while I'm at it, don't forget to buy my movie.
You can call me, too. I'm making bootleg copies in my garage.
Dan will sell it to you along with beer.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're back with Dan. What about the Adolescents? How are they doing?
They're doing great. Everybody's, you know, the shows, they can play pretty much, I keep saying they, I've been playing with them for quite a while now. We can play pretty much anywhere in the world and have people show, you know, the amount of people differ from place to place, but, you know, and the new album's really good. They're, you know, still putting out good music. And
where are they the strongest?
I would say here, right in Orange County.
Yeah.
I mean, we sold out the House of Blues and the Observatory, and even we did, when we came back from this last tour, we played Alex's on Steve's birthday. There's a line around the block. It was sold out, and people waited for people to leave to get in, and that's 21 and over. They still have a very young crowd. I always say 16 to 60 seems to be the average age of people going, you know, or 15 to 50, however you want to.
I went to that show at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
That was like all Cuckoo's Nest bands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, see, a lot of bands, of their, you know, started when they did, a lot of them don't like to play with their peers in the old bands, and they love it, you know. Like, we just played with the crowd again in Middle Class.
And, oh, yeah, I read about that. You get to that one.
Brad Logan's band, Rats on the Wall, opened, and that was just, you know, and when we were, actually, we were just on tour in Europe, and it was so great because we played a lot of shows of TSOL, Channel 3.
Oh, you played with
Yeah, in I played Europe. Shows with them, yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Jello Biafra.
Who headlined on that?
I think there was a few. We switched them around, but most of them were the Adolescents headlining.
Yeah.
Some were festivals where you just go on wherever.
Yeah.
And TSOL sounded great. Channel 3 sounded great. A lot of bands from here were over there, and we played got to see a lot of really cool bands.
There's a pretty strong scene in Germany, isn't there?
Yeah. We did Rebellion in England. That was a really good festival. We did a show in Caledonia.
Where?
Caledonia.
Caledonia. You mean?
It's not Spain.
Oh, they always say that. But it is Spain. They say that they're Basque country too. Yeah. This is not Spain.
Yeah.
It's not Caledonia. It's
Catalonia. Catalonia is not Spain. I just remember passing the big graffiti.
And they do that.
I can't say any of these things. Like, we were in Cagliari, in the island off of Italy. Uh-huh. I kept calling it Cagliari and Caligula and Caligularia. And it's funny when you get, it seems like it's such a cliche when you really don't know where you are and you can't say it. And, you know, it's the Spinal Tap moment, the Hello Cleveland, you know, and you're...
You know, Spinal Tap played Radio City.
Yeah, did they?
And they didn't tell me they were a joke band. But I knew the roadie. The roadie used to roadie for a band called Elijah, which was my house band at my first bar, the Backus House. And the singer was a guy named Eddie James, right? And anyway, he quit the band and went into acting. He became Edward James Olmos.
Oh, wow.
And he was a singer and worked forever for me.
How'd that work out for him?
Acting was better. I think. He did okay. Yeah. Although they want to kill him, though. You know, American
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
They didn't like the way he portrayed the founder of an MA. But I heard that was lifted now. They don't want to kill him anymore. They killed like 3 or 4 people that made that movie.
Wow. That's not
they
good.
Didn't like it.
Glad I wasn't in it. I passed on
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, what I was saying is they, you know, we always play. We don't worry about who the new, you know, hot young band is. They like to play with bands they like and who are their friends. And
you know, you guys are pretty much the pillars of Orange County, you know, and the Vandals, but really it's Adolescents and TSOL and Social Distortion and Agent Orange and
all of them. Yeah.
You know, but you two guys seem to be the Social Distortion never headlined the Cuckoo's Nest. Maybe towards the end they might have once, but they were just coming on strong towards the end there. But the Adolescents and TSOL were the two to stand out in my mind because...
Well, they both had great songs and the records were great. And it's an honor to play with those guys. I think it's great. Steve always jokes that he asked me many, many years ago and I laughed at him. And, that, you know, I was playing with Rick L. Rick or something and he couldn't believe that I didn't want to do it. And that's not the case. Somewhere in there, there was some... confusing because I've always been a big fan, especially, you know, even if you just take that one, the first record, it's just such an amazing record. And I love Frank and Rick's guitar playing, and it's great to play, you know, it's an honor to play those songs and play them right. It's funny, the people sing those solos and things that those guys put down on those records. It's not just the vocals and stuff, you know, it's, you know, they're good people. If I got to play those songs right. There's some later records where I can take some liberties, but that first one, you got to play it right or they note it, you know.
Right. Got to get that riff right on. Hey, we better play some music here. Let's, what do you want to play?
Let's play Forever Summer off the new Adolescence album, Presumed Insolent.
Presumed Insolent.
Yeah, it has to do with the San Onofre creating heating up the water out there.
Yeah, I guess that's forever. Over now. But anyway, San Onofre is a great surf spot where they decided to put a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
But and here's a song all about that. Let's hear it.
Here comes the summer. Here comes the summer. Here comes the summer. Here comes the summer. Here comes the summer.
Forever Summer with Dan Root playing guitar for the Adolescents, their new record. Go out and buy it. It's a great band. They deserve your patronage. And always one of my favorites. I remember one night Tony introducing Amoeba and saying, something always happens when we play this song. And he went into it, and the whole Cuckoo's Nest ignited into a big pit.
It still happens, place. Too. It's
not
unbelievable.
Not just the pit, but the whole place.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. And it never happened. That was the only time the whole place went. And I remember thinking, this is something happening here. Now, that was an interesting time. And, of course, people had to try to stop it, which I was the victim of that, I guess. And you play with Rick Elric, too, R.I.P.
Yeah, I love
him. He's another legendary guy.
Yeah, I was still in my teens when I played with him.
And, that was one of your first bands, right? I remember
I played in a few before that, and we were playing with him. And
played Radio City, I think.
Yeah, we played there, too. Yeah, it was at the Café de Grand, and I went up, and it was kind of the old, you know, the Keith Moon or Ringo Starr going up and telling the band, I'm better than your guy. I went up and said, hey. I thought I was going to be all, you know, because I was a big fan, and I just went up and go, hey, you know, if you need a guitar player, you know, I think I can do a better job kind of thing. And he goes, well, I actually do. They all just quit. So I got...
Your break.
Yeah,
you get a
so
break.
he called it his beach band because everyone is from Huntington Beach. We had we had this drummer named Tony and a bass player named Jim, and then we had Brad Logan in on bass for a while and Steve Houston.
Oh, yeah.
He played guitar with us for a while, and he called it his beach band. It was just all people from Huntington. And
Let's play something by Rick.
Yeah.
How about, what do you want to do?
How about I Got Power?
I Got Power. Here it is. Rick Elric, the legendary Rick Elric, who passed away up in heaven in the punk rock band. So here it is.
I got power that takes me places. I get dreams that show me places. A future time, a future day when all of them will go away. Hey, I don't want them. They don't want me. I can't use them. And they can't use me. I'll score big when I'm on top. I'll sit around and watch them drop. Rising to the surface. I'm the guy with a special purpose. They don't want me, and I don't want them. I can't use them, and they can't use me. I got power that takes me places. I get dreams that show me faces. Future time, a future hour, when all of them will lose their power. I don't want them, and they don't want me. I can't use them, and they can't use me.
That was Rick Elric. Nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I played with him off and on. I'd get frustrated because he wouldn't tour or get, you know, do too much, and he liked to stay home. They teased that he was an agoraphobic, which I just think he was comfortable at home, and I'd quit and go back with him and quit and go back with him. If he was here, I'd probably be doing something with him now.
Who's the most bands you played with at one time? It might be right now. What do you got? How many bands?
No, it was probably back then with, you know, playing with different people. I mean.
Oh, I forgot. You played with Jack with Cathedral of Tears, right?
I played in Cathedral of Tears and Tender Fury.
Right. Oh, and Tender Fury. I remember I was involved with them when you did that record.
You kind of guided us for a while.
Yeah. No, I.
You know, I don't know if you remember this, but during Tender Fury, there was a show at Big John's that got really carried away.
Oh, yeah. I was there for that.
And you and I...
We're going to have to fight to get paid or something?
Yeah. And I went... One of our friends, somebody got hit, and I went up to try and see if he was okay in the ambulance. And they told me to stay back. I said, okay, I just want to see if my friend's okay. And the cop hit me. And you're all, that cop just hit that kid. And we ended up... All we could get was...
Oh, I remember now.
Remember
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And they said... you know, whoever in charge, you know, the captain or somebody came down and he said, well, which one hit you? And we couldn't really finger the one who did
it. The one
it.
In uniform.
Yeah. And so the one with the mustache. So he apologized to us, but that was about as far as it went. But yeah, that was a.
I remember that. Now, you crazy know, remember shows. Eddie? You know, I used to call him Sal Mineo, the piano player. He's at the bar, and all of a sudden it's like, Jerry, go save Eddie. He's got a problem. So I go over, what's the problem? And there's this punk rocker all tatted up with huge guns, and, you know, he's scary-looking guy. And he's like, hey, you know, hitting on him kind of, you know. Just got out of prison, this guy. He looked like it, you know, scary guy. And they want me to, you know, break it up or get save Eddie.
Or get him a room.
And so I went over there, go, hey, what's going on? And the guy snarls at me, and I thought, oh, great. And then he went, Jerry, turned into a nice little punk rocker. He was the guy that stabbed the chauffeur at 18, and they put him in prison.
Oh, God.
And I told him, geez, you look like you're heading right back to jail, man. Here you are in a bar, and I got to, you know.
Yeah.
But he was just as nice as can be when he found out who I was. But before that, he was like a scary customer, you know.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sure Eddie appreciated that.
Yeah, I bailed Eddie out. Another thing I bailed Eddie out, he left his brand new piano out in front of Radio City one night.
Oh, God.
And they all left. And then he called and said, Jerry, I left my piano. Is it out in front? You know, he was brand new. And I went out there, and it was still there, and I saved it for him. But he always thanked me for that because I could have said, can't find it.
Yeah.
I would never do that. But
those were some good shows. We had a good time playing with Jack. And just playing with him, you know, together on the same bills recently, it was great to see him. All those guys are doing so well, all the TSO
guys. Yeah, I like all those guys.
Really, they're playing great, and they're having fun. You can tell they really weren't enjoying themselves. And
yeah, I saw a bunch of pictures Mike Roach put on Facebook, and it looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Jack's got his new wife, who's really nice.
Yeah, I haven't met her, but she seems nice. Jack seems as happy as I've ever known him to be. I mean, there was a long time where we didn't, you know, hang out. We'd run into each other, but big span there, you know. I played with a lot of people when they decided they wanted to do something different, you know, whether it was Rick Elric or Jack. I played with Keith Morris from Circle Jerks and Black Flag with Bug Lamp, a band we had with Bug Lamp, and he was kind of going in a different direction, and you know,
a new band out that's doing pretty good now.
Yeah, Off is doing amazing. And then he's doing the Flag shows, which are
doing.
Yeah, he's playing, singing for Flag, not Black Flag, but Flag.
And well,
we played at Black Flag when we were in over
we got
in
White
Europe
Flag,
too.
Flag, and Black Flag, right?
Yeah. They got a lawsuit going now against each other, Flag and Black Flag.
Why?
I don't know. Joe knows all about it. You should have talked to Joe Escalante. He did a show on his radio show about it. Yeah, I think it has to do with the use of the bars and the word flag together.
They're like the Disneyland of punk rock. You know, they really guard their little bars.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't use Mickey Mouse. They'll jump on you.
Well, they sounded great, though. I know that the Flag version is amazing. Haven't caught them. Just seen, like, video of it. Keith just sounds great, you know, and everything. But
they're very litigious.
Ron was singing for Black Flag, and they sounded amazing, too. So they were both, I'm sure, doing great shows, you know.
I expected them to sue me, but, you know, for that footage in, you know, Urban Struggle, I didn't bother to get any permission for that.
Well, don't announce it. You mean you got permission.
What happened was, I found this out, legalese. Well, you know, I was on Joey's show, too. A guy, Hurley, ripped me off. They did some trunks, Cuckoo's Nest trunks, with my picture, my name.
Oh, really?
Bills, you know, I mean, like, cartels, and... all the trunks were like, you know, everything on the trunks was Cuckoo's Nest, like a collage.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they didn't ask me. They just did it. And then I asked Joey, and he goes, wait a minute, and he recorded it and put it on his show, me asking, you know, can I get any money out of this? And basically he said no. So he said, I think I ended up settling for 12 pair of trunks, which I handed out to family members.
That's something.
But, yeah, $50 a throw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just like, be honored, Hurley ripped you off. You must be cool. Yeah, with the Black Flag thing, I remember that there was a movie called American Hardcore.
Yeah.
And they called me and they wanted to use some of my footage. And I said, yeah, okay, we'll make a deal. And he says, well, we want to use the Black Flag stuff. I says, well, I never got permission for that stuff. I says, you're going to have to go to them. You can have my rights, but you're going to have to get them to do it too. So they made a deal. And
used it.
I forget, $1,000 or something. And but they put a value on it. So now if they want to sue me for using it, well, we know what it's worth. Yeah. You charge these guys, so how much, you know. And I found out the hard way, MTV bought some footage from me, and they paid me, and then they're really cheap. And they were down to like, we just want to use 10 seconds. Can we, you know, and it's like, But finally I made a second deal, and the third deal, they just did it without my permission. Mm. So I called the lawyer. He said, well, you put a value on it. It's only worth so much. That's what you charge them. So you can't really sue them for more. I guess you could, but nobody's interested. There's not enough money in it for a lawyer to be interested. So, but that's the grand thing about punk rock. Everyone just rips each other off. But now I think you guys have people working for you to watch out for that stuff, right?
Well, I think back when, you know, Green Day and The Offspring and Rancid, those guys all did it a lot smarter, and they made a lot of money and were able to hang on to it. And
yeah,
it's like the old blues, you know, musicians didn't make anything, and then the next generation did, you know?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, you were in Cathedral of Tears, Tender Fury, or both of them?
Both of them, yeah.
And
I think Tender Fury started because I was hanging around with Todd a little bit and wanted to play with him, and I talked to Jack about doing something a little harder, which wasn't too much harder, but it wasn't like it was, you know, it was a little harder than Cathedral. But so Jack and we got Todd to play, and that's how that started.
Yeah, they did a song called Big E's Night Move, which was about a guy named Ezra who owned a bar called Night Moves. I remember he came to me when I owned Radio City, and he was picking my brain, pretending he wanted to buy Radio City. And he's one of those guys that gets a nightclub so he can get girls. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if that worked too well for him.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, nothing will.
Yeah, I remember there was a moment when Warren from the Vandals band, I think it was Gherkin Ruckus, it might have been Extra Large, it was one of his bands before he was in the Vandals, were playing the song Night Moves, and they invited him up there to dance during the song. So he's up there in all his glory, and like he had a big fur coat on or something. And someone threw, and that someone was standing next to me, and that someone everyone here knows, and there's a picture of him on the wall out there, threw a beer mug or an ashtray or something. Wasn't trying to hit him, but in his state, I guess his, you know, he actually just clocked him right in the head, and down went Ezra with an ashtray.
Big E's night move.
Big E went down, yeah.
That was his night move.
Yeah. Going
oh, Ezra. Well, you know, some club owners never like each other anyway. It's kind of like a solitary thing, you know. There's no club owners union, and they don't help each other out much. They're all like lone wolves, kind of.
Fighting for the same shows, usually.
Yeah, but even then, it's just, I don't know. I have respect for some promoters, like Gary Trovar, but some, like Ezra, you know. Here it is, Big E's Night Move by Tender Fury, and it's all about Ezra.
I'm
We're talking with Dan Root here, guitarist extraordinaire, and one of the guys that made it all happen here in Orange County, Southern California. Oh, you know, I used to remind me of Jimmy Rogers. We had that long hair and cute kid. You know the country guy?
Jimmy Rogers. I can't picture him being young, though. You also used to think I looked just like Mike Mart, and you paid me once.
Mike, who?
Mike Mart, Texan the Horseheads.
No, not me.
Yeah, you came up to me at Radio City, and you go, "Here you go, Mike," and you handed me a big pile of money. My band opened for Chamber Toys, actually, opened for Texan the Horseheads, and you gave me this big, you know, their pay, and I went, "Wow, cool, thanks." And I was walking to my car, and all of a sudden, you and Mike came chasing after me. Hey!
Reminds me of Kevin DeBrow one time, Quiet Riot guy, came and visited me when they had the number one record at that time for like a week or something, but... I was really happy for him to cash in, and he told me, you know, Jerry, one night you overpaid us $50, and we really that saved us. You know, we had a lot of hamburgers for that $50. I thought he was gonna. I did. Well, can I have it back? It was a mistake.
Hey, you got it back from me. He came running after me.
I didn't have the heart to ask him. It was such a nice story. I hate to tell him it was a mistake. Anyway, what do you want to play now? How about another C.J. Ramone record?
Yeah, let's play...
or a new Adolescence record.
Let's play one of each.
All right.
Let's play What Are We Gonna Do Now by C.J. Ramone.
Back to Back.
And Tic Tac at the Alligator Tree, the last song on the new Adolescence album, Presumed Insolent.
Okay, we got a double whammy for you, folks. Back to Back. That was What Are We Going to Do Now by C.J. Ramone and Tic Tac at the Alligator Tree by The Adolescents on their new record, Presumed Insolent. And here we are back with Dan Root, guitar player extraordinaire.
Well, I was the singer and played guitar for One Hit Wonder. We put out a couple records on Nitro and toured a lot with The Offspring and Guttermouth and all those bands during that period, and toured Japan and did a lot with that band too. That band didn't do as well here as elsewhere, so we had to travel a lot. But
What do you want to do by the One Hit Wonders?
We'll have your producer pick it.
My producer Tom Neese, hardworking.
Yeah, he's a big fan. He's always telling me that band should have been the biggest thing in the world. So I'll let him pick it.
Okay, Tom, what are we gonna play? Okay, here we are. Stay Away. Dan Root on guitar for the.
And one, lead vocals for the only time.
And lead vocals for the One Hit Wonders.
Oh, when I say to you, there is a choice. Is it me or just the sound of my voice? Just the sight of you can bring it up or down. Taking his body and put it all down. You lied to me. I think you're bullshit now. I don't believe a word. I've nothing else to say to you.
The clock on the wall, it looks like we're running out of time again. Always fun to see you, Dan. We never seem to run out of stuff to talk about.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same station. Have a good day, Japan.